Item number two is a subdivision rezoning of 90 Lexington Park under file DASZ 21-2010.
Joining us just before we start the process is John Wintrup, the area planner. Immediately to the left of Councillor Boddy and to the left of John Wintrup is Kim Raban of the Planning Department. All right, we have one person registered, a number registered in support, but I believe you're speaking for the applicant, Ms.
Yes,
Russell.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Introduce your name and address for the record.
It's Susan Russell, 200 124th Street.
Go ahead.
What we have before us today is the subdivision and rezoning of 90 Lexington Park. The proposed subdivision is simply subdividing out the road, the existing Palliser building property, and the balance of what was site number one under the current development agreement. Site number one basically identified an area along Gateway Road that would be used for more commercial type purposes. And adding to that, or consolidating with that, a small portion of what was originally site number two. And under recommendations received by the administration, the idea was to rezone that to a commercial zoning, so that we end up with a commercial piece. So there's those three basic properties. With regards to the administrative report, we have no concerns except for, with the exception of two items. The first being the Winnipeg Public Service Recommendation 3, Administrative Report, Exhibit 14, Recommendation Number 3, and Administrative Report, page 18, all relating to land dedication. We are proposing that these clauses be adjusted because of the already, the contributions that Palliser has already made to land dedication in the area. I'm just turning to the section where we started to write what we're thinking might be a reasonable suggestion with regards to this. Of course, I can't find it. In essence, oh, here it is. That 10% land dedication, we understand that that is something that is put forward by council. But what we're asking for is that, number one, that there be confirmation that this is related to the 5.04-acre commercial lot only, which is what my understanding is, so confirmation on that, and that this dedication be less the credit for previous over-dedication by Palliser on previous land transactions, and that the eligible over-dedication be negotiated between Palliser and the administration. I think that's what we were looking for. So that's the number one thing.
Okay, maybe just on that, John, is there anything that you can tell us on that in terms of, first of all, clarifying just to confirm of where the existing dedication is charged against?
Yes, the existing dedication is charged against the portion that's becoming commercial because it's based on the increase in value on the land.
The change from industrial to commercial.
That portion there.
A small portion that isn't already commercial.
Because we understand from the applicant the balance of the lands are going to remain vacant at this time. Existing industrial building is going to remain on a new parcel, and the road, which is a private road, but my understanding it's being built to the city standards, will be on one lot, so we wouldn't expect to take land dedication on that, on a road that we believe in the future will become our right-of-way, but it's on the existing, or the proposed commercial site.
Yeah. Do you have any background on this over-dedication?
I guess to clarify, and I guess on in fairness to the applicant, Susan, she contacted me earlier today, and I guess I forgot to tweak on the words over-dedication. There's no such thing as over-dedication. The charter is pretty clear. We're allowed to take a minimum 10%. There's no maximum 10%. So there is no such thing as over-dedication.
What are you referring to specifically?
And if I could, my client, Mr. DeFer, would like to would like to speak to that.
Sure, so we could elaborate on it that
time. Yeah, exactly. Is that okay?
Yeah, we can do that.
Is that okay?
For sure.
Yep.
Then the next point is the requirement, the next one is under the administrative report, page 17, municipal services, first bullet, in Schedule B, Clause 1. These clauses relate to the 2-meter proposed road widening. And we have, again, Stan Tech here. Again, he would like to speak afterwards to this as well. But in essence, that the 2-meter road widening is felt by our engineer and by our client to be premature at this time, and that there should be an opportunity to tie any proposed improvements, whatever those proposed improvements should be determined to be at the time of the Chief Pig was at the time of construction on the particular site that
which road are we referring to?
On Gateway Road.
On Gateway?
There's a proposed widening that no one knows for certain whether or not even be required, let alone is the best solution at this point in time.
What they're, I think, referring to here is, like, as you've probably seen, they've widened Gateway out through the intersections from both north and south of Gateway. They've widened it out for proper turning lanes. What they're suggesting is this would allow vehicles turning onto Lexington Park, vehicles that are not turning to, you know, go around, I suppose.
Right. And I will let Stan Tech speak to that in a little bit more detail. But the basic premise is that the current traffic engineering study says that they will not require any road improvements to maintain road operations at a reasonable level. And then the only possible exception would be longer delays on Lexington Park Road ourselves, on their current, the road that we're actually having subdivided out, which is their own road, their own private road. So that's really the only people that would be impacted at this point in time. So that's in essence, they're asking for that to be stayed or waived for at this point in time. So those are the two items. So I think maybe now, is it all right to turn that over to...
Before we do that, you have nothing else at this point, or...?
Nope, that's it. There's a number of items, but I'd prefer to have Stan Tech go through each of the items with regards to the actual road, to speak to the road item, and if Mr. DeFerre can speak to the what we're calling over-dedication.
Okay. Are there any other questions of Ms. Russell before? No? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
The next I have registered, would you want, is there any particular order in terms of Mr. DeFerre speaking next,
speak
or
Mr. So Stan Tech first.
Okay, all right. Mr. Karelko, I'm assuming you're here for Stan Tech. You're registered as information, but you're here obviously with...
Provide information.
All right, I understand. You're obviously in support of the application.
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'll change that. Okay, could you state your name and address for the record?
Name is Bob Karelko, 23076 Lorne Hill Road in the RM of Springfield.
Okay. Go ahead.
I authored the traffic impact study for this particular subdivision or zoning application. And in the process of the study, the numbers that we used for the traffic impact were based on the numbers that were generated a number of years ago for the proposed Chief Pegwas Trail. And so those numbers were, they were a projection. And what I'm recommending right now is that any decision on roadway improvements be deferred until those numbers actually are measured in the field. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the real impact that Chief Pegwas will have on Gateway.
Right.
And if it's only a minor impact, or if the numbers are less than what the projections are, then any improvements to Gateway would be unnecessary. And if they're more than what were projected, then the improvements that are being suggested may not be enough. So
I hear where you're going. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Why put it in there if you're going to be 20 out Gateway if that becomes necessary?
That's right.
I get that aspect.
Yeah.
Do you have further plans in regards to, on page 16 of the report, in terms of site design, are they referring to the whole area owned by the?
The study was done on the whole, I think it was 50 acres.
Sure.
And if once that second sort of called the second parcel, the phase two is developed, then there could be some significant impacts on Gateway. So
right.
And depending on the internal road system.
I applaud Mr. DeFair for all the work he's done in terms of building everything to city standards throughout this area, you know,
yep.
with the understanding that it may become city roadway at some point. There have been mistakes, I'm going to say, made on Gateway prior to my being around with, you know, accesses that bleed on to Gateway Road.
Right.
I won't mention businesses by name, but I think you know where I'm going.
They're the wrong beast.
But in terms of that foresight, do you think your client would be amenable to the idea of making a connection, even at this time, to Springfield Road, as part of his internal road?
I would have to defer that to...
Part of what's already suggested on here is that, that a full site plan is required.
Yes.
Would there be any appetite? I mean, again, Springfield Road is going to become a dead-ended street next year, likely, with the Chief Pegasus Trail going through, providing, you know, nice, wide, signalized access to this particular site behind the church could become could be a very appealing idea for traffic flow, as well as adding a restriction that southbound traffic on Gateway from, say, 7 till 9 a.m. would not be allowed to turn onto Lexington Park. I think with those two conditions, I'd be more than happy to consider the removal of the in fact, I think it would make sense to remove that consideration of doing the widening of Gateway.
Yeah.
There's
other options, too.
I'm not a traffic engineer. This is traffic engineering on the fly, so I'm throwing that idea out to you for your comment. I know there's a cost, certainly, to Mr.
DeFair. There is a cost,
to DeFair,
and
so.
The balance of the development was going to use or utilize Springfield Road more than Lexington, and there would be some bleed-off. But the way the development sort of is, based on the location of it, your desire lines are to come out to Gateway and go north and south. So lots of cost to build a road, another road to Springfield for, you know, minor improvements.
That could be tied into a no left-hand turn for southbound traffic onto Lexington Park, say, just between morning rush hour.
The southbound left turn movement wasn't the critical one. It's the westbound coming out of the development in the PM.
Okay.
That was the critical movement. There's a number of options that we could do, a roundabout at that location, level of service for all movements goes up to B, at the highest B. Free flow Gateway operates a level of service A, but you know, with a roundabout, it's A or B. I can't remember what the movements are. So, and then you don't have to spend any money, the city in general, spend any money widening Gateway because there's sufficient capacity in a roundabout with two lanes roads. Or one lane in each direction to not have to four-lane Gateway ever.
So what you're suggesting is, in fact, we make a requirement that at such time as necessary by some sort of engineering standard that a requirement is required for an improvement there, that you would be a participant in it or cover that? Is that the idea?
Yeah, that was one of the recommendations.
Whether it's a traffic circle or the 2-meter for southbound or whatever.
You wouldn't do a traffic calming circle. You'd do a full lane roundabout.
Okay.
It's always my first choice.
Yeah. As opposed to a signal.
As opposed to a traffic signal or a four-way stop or three-way stop.
Okay.
But
come up.
Okay. Any other? No.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, Mr. Krelko, you can step down.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Art DeFair.
Thank you for the opportunity. I've dealt with a number of you on different occasions. I appreciate the comments from Councillor Browati. I think we've attempted to be a responsible citizen with all of our property dealings, and I hope you share that view. And we want to in this one, too. I'll speak to some of the particular things. I think one of the real one of the real issues on this property is that we don't know long-term where it's going to go. It's a very unusual property. I think the planners would probably agree with that. It's the last major piece in this quadrant of town. And I think how one develops it, is quite critical. And in part, I think the 5 acres we're speaking about, without question, the only good use for that is commercial. Whatever else happens to the rest, that really has no other use. And the reason we want to zone it now is so we can deal with parties responsibly who want to talk to us about that, so they can say, yes, in fact, the city goes along with you, whatever their own pattern is. So that's the reason we're separating that from the others, because there are people approaching. We're also being approached on the rest of it, but with a number of very different kind of uses. So that's why the eventual use is really unknown. The front piece can be nothing else, so we want to deal with that. But I think in the long term, the only guy who's come with a check in hand is somebody that I'm not sure is the right use for it. That's something you held up the cup. This one carries a big W in front of it, and I'm not sure I want that as a solution for that area. But they would not want this road at all. They would fight with you for access to Chief Pegasus directly. Okay, I mean, but they're the only guys with a check in hand to these days. So we don't know what's going to happen to that property at this stage. I don't know what the outcome would be. The other one is that, in speaking with the planners, we talked about this. If you look at the map and if you look at how that part of the works, this is probably the best place for sort of a bus terminus loop coming through the property and out. And then hopefully if you put housing in the middle of it, possibly some high-rise or semi-high-rise housing, you could have density there with some commercial. That creates a road pattern which the 2 meters might be relevant and may not be relevant. Like it all depends on what you do with it. So say what one thing is to go all commercial, one is to go part commercial, one is to put high-rise housing. We don't ourselves know. Like it's not that easy to do. Likely I'll be back to the city once we get a little bit more views on maybe what is a really good outcome, because we may have to negotiate some very different kind of things. I do want to point out, and I think it was mentioned by Councillor Brawati, that we very deliberately made the road not only the 60, but we made it the connector level width voluntarily. And the road bed has been built to on one side so you can actually make it wide enough. So we anticipate that someday, if the city wants full connector road status, it's possible to do that. We're doing that voluntarily as good citizens, because I think that may be the best use for that. The question of whether we would build to Springfield, there's a lot of interesting history on the site, and it may not be known, but if you actually check the books with the planning, we are not permitted to exit on Springfield. Isn't that correct?
Up till now, yeah.
Currently, we are not allowed. We're not allowed. However, we were required to landscape all of Springfield for at a cost of a couple $100,000, but we're not allowed to use Springfield. So one of the issues when they say what is our dedication, there's really two aspects to it. One of them is the fact that we were required to, in fact, spend several $100,000 along Springfield to beautify Springfield, but not allowed to use it. We view that as a form of dedication. The other one is we owned the land all the way to La Jemote originally. And when they took the site for the Chief Pegasus Trail, we debated with the authorities at the time about how much land they needed. And the problem is the engineers didn't know how much they needed, so they simply took a lot more. And they took a lot more at a very low price. And we got tired of fighting with it, and they took about 20 extra acres that they today are going to become parkland. And so we said, someday we will remind you that you've taken a lot of dedication, which we want to take account of. So we donated about 20 acres at a very marginal cost so that the engineers could figure things out later on. So there's two things. There's actually a third one on Besant. There's an interesting site where there's a car body shop on a piece of land which we donated to the city as parkland. And suddenly we discovered that it was sold for a body shop. Councilor Brawati reminded me the other day that Besant is residential. I said it is, because we donated the east side to the city as a permanent buffer, but the city then sold it for housing and the first two lots on Red Oak as well, because we owned all that land. So I'm saying there's a lot of history here where what we were asked to do it didn't, and the city did something different later on. And we do have, I'm old enough to have memories, I guess, and so. I simply say in this case we have contributed, we're asked to contribute a lot of things which turned out differently in terms of land use. And we'd like to maybe have a discussion with authorities to take it into account. I think the part on the road itself, I tend to agree with we are not against building. If you look at, in fact, on Lexington, you'll notice the right turn, the turning lane coming off Lexington is actually double length that the engineers recommended. And I get tired of these places where cars jam up. So I said, when we're building it, we built an extra couple hundred feet. I said, in the long term, it will be a good investment for the cost. So we do not want to underbuild. But I also mentioned the fact that if you look at the site, the Springfield Road is there with the light. Lexington has been built quite substantial width. We also own the access to Besant Burnett. And as we develop our large building as industrial building, in the long term, I don't know what it will be. It will probably be, it's too good a building in that site to be, it's not going to be a warehouse 20 years from now. So we likely will develop this site south as well. So what you will end up is a traffic pattern with three exits. And our view is that as we get a little further down the road, possibly discussing a bus loop, I think it should be part of a total solution. And I would also say a solution to which all the participants, the traffic in the area, should contribute a little bit, even though they sell coffee. But just the idea being, I think there's a lot of people generating traffic. Chief Pegwis, my feeling is, knowing the living in the area, is going to generate a lot more traffic than I think the engineers expected to do, because it'll pull people into those commercial developments like that exists in the area. So I think our view is simply is we do not mind contributing our share at all, but I think that the idea of simply adding 6 feet is not going to be the solution even 3 years from now. So we'd simply like to say, wait, we'll pay our share when the time comes, and along with whoever else contributes to the traffic. And the solution might be totally different at that time. I guess it will be. And on the dedication, we'd at least like to have a good discussion with the people to put some balance into the history and the present.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. DeFerrer. I don't know if we can have, if the administration has tonight the information that we would need to have that discussion in terms of dedication.
Probably not,
yeah. But having said that, this community committee only has the authority to recommend decisions go forward, just so you know, to Standing Committee of Property Development and then finally to Council. So there's about another two-month process behind this, I guess, coming up, which would maybe allow for that opportunity to have that discussion. But anyway, any questions?
Some wise people at the next committee has to go to, too.
There you are.
I'm sorry?
I heard there's a very good chairman there, so at the next committee. I'm not too sure who it is. But anyway, yeah. Any questions at this point, councillors?
No, I think I'm comfortable.
Okay, we may have some questions of the administration, and Susan has an opportunity to come back up and speak as well. Sure. So that'd be great. Thanks very much, Mr. DeFerrer. Also registered in support is Diane Davis. Sorry about that. I couldn't read the name. But you're registered in support. Did you wish to speak or just register in support?
I need to register in support.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anybody else registered in support whose name I have not read? Anybody else who is registered in support, whose name, who wishes to be in support, who has not filled out a form? Seeing none. Anybody here registered in opposition to this item? Anybody registered in opposition? Seeing no one registered in opposition to this item, anybody here registered for information? Anybody here for information? Seeing none, then I'll ask the applicant, Susan Russell, speaking on behalf of the applicant, to come forward. There might be further questions at this point. Do you have anything you wish to add?
No, nothing other than I think everyone understands what we're asking for any road improvements to be tied to development at a future time, and that.
My concern with, you know, at a future time is what if there's never another addition to this particular property, like beyond this.
No, to development of the commercial piece.
Okay.
Yeah, we understand that. Like if
like if the commercial piece is the only piece that gets built, the frontage along Gateway. And, you know, we need some,
yep.
I think we'll try to build that in fact.
Absolutely. If there's a way, I know we were speaking earlier about a way to tie no development permit unless do the road improvements that are required.
Is there maybe just to get the administration to speak to that and then have a discussion on it?
It's a bit of a challenge. Is this on?
Yes.
Okay. It's a bit of a challenge in that we cannot actually caveat properties any longer to collect money. It's something land titles will permit us to do. So administratively, the best we can do is keep a record of the, you know, council decision that took place, and when it comes time for a development permit or a building permit to be applied for, to ensure that that permit is actually not released until we collect the money. I don't know how else to say it but to say it.
I mean, it seems kind of a waste to have him, you know, say pay for an extra lane for a roundabout for traffic signals or any of those things at this point. I mean, I guess that's the other option, and it just seems.
I could say
I agree with what Mr. DeFair is saying that the extra widening probably isn't needed right now. B, going forward is probably not going to be the best solution. You know, in terms of best planning practices and best traffic management practices, I don't think it's the best solution.
Yes, I know we, you know, if the plans were definite, then we can, you know, we can deal with it more effectively.
Well,
but
traffic flows, traffic
yeah.
patterns aren't definite yeah. yet either. I mean, Raleigh closing between Donovan and Gilmore is certainly going to affect things, as well as other commercial activities, as well as how the rest of the site develops. I mean, if you know, you build high rises and other retailers or other type, depending on the type of development that goes in there, I mean, it could be completely different as to what we need to do.
So Kim, you were saying that an administrative message on Amanda would be a way to do this so that it's in perpetuity on record.
Normally, we would also couple that with the requirement for the applicant to post securities through the development agreement. Process.
Okay.
To guarantee this.
So I suppose what we could do today is, if we approve this, we can't really receive any more representations if this moves further, but we can still have members of the administration come forward with ways of dealing with the concerns that are brought up. Like we could bring in Roy Hartman and that to
yes,
Property and Development
yes.
to provide tweaks and provide advice on how to deal with this.
Yes.
If the public hearing is closed, can consultation with the applicant still be had by...
The administration can always talk to the applicant.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes, we can have those conversations.
But
yes.
The people hearing it at the next level technically couldn't. Is that how the process is?
Just to caution you, we'll only go to P&D is if you make a change to the recommendation in the planning report. There's nobody here in opposition. So it would be, and if you make no changes to the recommendation, it accelerates and goes to EPC. So if you're banking on making changes at P&D, I would advise you then you would have to make a change to either the planner's report recommendation or to the development agreement recommendation to trigger that process to go to P&D.
No, you could just simply make a change by having a motion that would say that these items should be considered by the administration.
Yeah.
And that would be a change.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to say delete a clause or add a clause and not
then just do
not consideration.
You can change it later.
So the green light process is so that if nobody's here in opposition, there's no changes to the report, it just goes right to EPC.
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is where we're going, but we could remove the land dedication for now and put it back.
Yeah,
later.
You could.
I don't know if we have like the signal necessarily sentence, but.
Well, you can be guaranteed that the public service will have something
yeah,
to say
we'll
about
have
that.
A comment about that and some of your colleagues and other
well, change, make the land dedication instead of 10%, 9%, and then you can have a discussion.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
You have to make a change.
We'll make a change. So that will be the change. We're moving it to 9% because you want to have that discussion.
The minimum requirement is 10%.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. And well, that's the reason why we're doing it, so that we can then have the matter will go to the Standing Committee of Property and Development. Otherwise, it'll go directly to EPC, and the discussion won't be available. But
right.
And then your client's
then
concerns won't be addressed
exactly.
in that process.
Exactly. And then with the understanding that we would work with the administration to come up with some collective agreement to present to you guys at well, we won't present to you, but administration
it'll
will
come through
to
the
you.
Administration. Yeah.
Just to keep in mind, I mean, clearly the recommendations we have here in terms of the road improvements were out of the ACG meeting, and it was coming from Public Works that is making this recommendation. Now, maybe through a discussion, they might be amenable to looking at other options as well. And the question on the timing.
And they should be made aware of the comments that were made here by myself.
Yes.
Well, I would just...
And more importantly, Mr. Fair.
I would just caution then that maybe if you're also going to make a tweak to that clause in the development agreement. I know you haven't made a decision. You want us to report back to you at P&D, but I feel more comfortable, I'm sure city clerks would too, is if you're going to make a tweak to that kind of clause, I don't particularly indicate one way or the other, and at least then, the public service can then go there.
The whole item would be coming back to the standing committee.
Yes,
the whole item is not just one clause that comes back.
The entire item.
So then, is John is saying is that, I mean, if you have concern about the two meter.
Where is that? Where is it in the report?
Clause one of the.
You're saying we can't discuss it at the standing committee?
Schedule B, clause one.
Our preference would be that if you were to alter a clause so that we can discuss it, alter the clauses that you want us to discuss at standing policy committee.
Yeah, but having said that, I'm sure that the chair of the standing policy committee can ensure that whatever needs to be discussed will be discussed at that meeting. Right?
Yes, sometimes I have, the chair also has to take advice from legal services about what can and can't be discussed after the public hearing has been closed. And I know in previous past practices, I cannot discuss new information at the standing policy committee because the public hearing is closed. I can go there as a member of the public service to clarify points that might have been changed or modified at the community committee. I'm just hesitant that I don't want to handcuff this committee that if you only make a change to the land dedication, that legal services may say at P&D that I can only go there and discuss that one item.
Councillor, you also have the option on the
No, I don't want to.
What clause is it?
You've got Schedule B, Clause 1. It's related to the 2-meter road.
Schedule B, Clause 1
of the ACG report.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. It's very okay.
Right at the bottom.
Use as a placeholder in here so that we could have a further discussion.
Yes, I believe so. I think legal service, I can't speak for them, but I think.
Would it be easier if we didn't change it to 2.1 meters or to.
Yes, whatever change.
Out of Portland cement, make it out of.
Gravel, asphalt, whatever you want to change.
Sure.
Just.
You were talking about a specific time frame that this might be done. Did you want to reference that time frame in this?
Make
I'm
a time
looking
up.
At alternatives to perhaps this wide again.
Like, just delete the clause and then you can discuss it.
Yes.
Delete the clause for now?
Yeah. Okay. And then we can discuss it.
Okay. We're going to delete Schedule B, Clause 1. Not that we want to delete it entirely, but...
Clause 1 of the ACD report.
Right. Yeah. Well, for the clear purpose of having discussion at the higher committee and having the time to do that, to have that discussion. Okay. Any other comments the administration would like to make this time?
No.
All right. Good. Ms. Russell, was there anything else that you wanted to add?
So with regards to the dedication, that one's going to be adjusted too. So
that's adjusted as well from 10 to 9, so you'll have that discussion. So that'll be a motion that Councillor Bawati will be making. But is there anything? Yep. Was there anything else?
No, just those two clauses were what was.
Okay. Any other questions of Ms. Russell? Seeing none? Okay. Very good. Thank you. Mr. Bawati.
Okay. I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in with two amendments, the first one being land dedication be changed from 10% to 9% as in... public service recommendation number 3, that the 10% be changed to 9. And in Schedule B, item number 1, the entire clause be deleted with, again, the language of Councillor Wyatt used a few moments ago with the discussion of alternatives to doing that in terms of traffic.
So you're just deleting recommendation.
Yeah, but we're deleting. He's moving to delete.
I want to specify it in there that we're doing it because we're not absolving them of a.
But if you're deleting it, Councilor, you're deleting it in its entirety. I mean, you're not putting a clause in the OCG report that says that we want.
I want a note to be added though.
It'll be on the record.
On the record. Yeah. Good
on
enough.
The record.
Okay, it's removed. I'm just hoping somebody, when they see the report, though, their eyes won't light up. But
their eyes will light up.
Okay. All good. Motion's been made.
All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'll just move some supporting reasons here. I think, again, there's certainly a desire and a need for additional commercial development in North Kildonan. The recently adopted Plan Winnipeg identifies these subject lands as an area for redevelopment. There's
a major
redevelopment. It's certainly an area that where intense industrial use certainly isn't appropriate anymore, and changing that to commercial or mixed use is certainly appropriate and consistent with our Winnipeg. I think this is overall certainly a very positive advancement of the neighborhood, so I'm pleased to support it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to council via the various committees. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council. Thank you.